Before I begin, let me say what a great joy it is to be here this morning, my first Sunday as your new rector. Earlier this morning, just outside on the post road, we had our first outdoor Eucharist, and with my thanks to the sprint team that made all those plans and made it possible, it was a great joy to be together in worship for the first time in person since March. And it's so nice to be with you now via our live stream. And I hope in the coming weeks to be able to meet you face to face. What a blessing to be able to be here today. My husband Dan and I are so grateful for the warm welcome that we have received so far, and we can't wait to meet you. With this terrible virus still raging, of course, it won't look like we might have hoped. Out of love for one another, out of an abundance of caution, we still have to keep our distance and wear our masks and limit the number of people who can be together at any one time, but we will get through this together by God's grace. And as we do, we'll be as creative as we can be about creating opportunities to be together in worship, in formation, and to get to know one another better. But even as we begin under these difficult circumstances, I am still so thrilled, so excited to be with you here as your new rector, and so confident in the future that God has in store for St. Luke's Parish. And I also hope, before I really dig into this morning's gospel, that each of you had a good 4th of July. It actually happens to be my birthday, so it's a day that has a special place in my heart. But one of the things that I love about the 4th is that it's not just a national holiday, it's also a feast of the church. And the church, in her wisdom, gives us readings and prayers, calls us to be a people of prayer, who hold up before God in prayer the reality of our nation's life and ask for God's guidance and God's wisdom, God's forgiveness, blessing, and protection. There is so much to celebrate about our great American experiment in self-governance, so much to give thanks for. And this past year has reminded us in profound and profoundly painful ways, as we wrestled with the realities of systemic racism, police brutality, and the economic disparities this pandemic has made so clear, it has brought so clearly into our minds that we are still very much, each of us, as a nation and as a people, a work in progress. So we don't just celebrate, we pray. We pray that God would help us grow into a more perfect union, would help us grow in our own hearts, and as Christians, would help us recommit to that holy work, to those promises made in our baptism, to seek Christ in all persons and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I hope you had a great 4th, and I hope you know how glad Dan and I are to be with you. Hear again Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I won't speak for my clergy colleagues, but I will confess that sometimes you see the lectionary readings assigned for a particular Sunday, and you offer up a prayer like, Lord, what would you have me do with these? Today was not one of those days. No, when I read this gospel, and particularly those last words from Jesus, I knew that the Holy Spirit was at work. For these verses are some of my favorites in all of the Bible, and I know that they have a lot to teach me and us about what it might mean to be St. Luke's Parish in this time, in this place, Jesus' church, in and for Darien. So I was pretty happy when I saw this gospel. And as I lived with this text this week and prayed with it, two prayers came to my mind. Two hopes emerged. about what it might mean for us to be St. Luke's. The first is that we would be a people who know how much we rely and depend on God's extravagant, profligate, prodigal grace. Grace. Notice where Jesus starts. He doesn't say, work it out on your own and come to me when you have it figured out. He doesn't say, come to me, all you who feel strong. He doesn't say, come to me, all you who have your finances in order, or who have your house, or your family, or your career just how you want it. No, he says, come to me, you who are tired, weary, carrying heavy burdens. Come to me, you who are tired, weary, and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The culture in which we live works hard to convince us that we always have to put our best face forward, that we need to at least appear to have it all together. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows sometimes better than we do that life can be hard, that we never always have it all together. Each of us, in our own ways, eventually comes to a place where we realize that we cannot do it by ourselves. A place where our steam runs out, where our strength and our skills and our smarts come up short. Jesus says, come to me then, and I will give you rest. Church. Church is that place where we get to bring our whole selves, our true selves, the good and the strong, the weak and the broken, into the loving presence of God. We come as we are to find a love that chooses us first, for God loves us not for what we have done, but for who we are. In his wonderful little book, Being Christian, Rowan Williams puts it this way. We come to the altar of God, not because we are doing well, but because we are doing badly, not because we've arrived, but because we're traveling, not because we're right, but because we're confused and wrong, not because we are divine, but because we are humble, not because we are full, but because we are hungry. And the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is that when we come hungry, we are fed. When we come weak, we are strengthened. When we come confused, we're given wisdom. When we feel crushed by guilt, we're offered forgiveness, and we are shown a love that can make us and all things new. So as we think about what it might mean for us to be St. Luke's, as we pray about what God's call is on our life as a parish, it has to start there. We have to be that place where we can proclaim and enact and share the extravagant welcome and abundant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, however you've fallen short, this is the place where we encounter the living God who loves us into new and everlasting life. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't just tell us to find rest. He shows us the way. He explains to us how it works. He tells us how it is that we can experience that freedom. And he does it by talking about a yoke. Now, I realize that yokes are not exactly commonplace these days, at least not in Fairfield County, but if you don't know, and I discovered yesterday that there are people who do not know, a yoke is that wooden crossbeam that goes across the back of a pair of oxen or other beasts of burden, attached to them so that they can pull the cart or the plow that's behind them. I'll confess to you that the first yoke I ever saw was hanging over the fireplace at the beach house of a friend. But in Jesus' day, it would have been a common thing to see. Pair of oxen yoked together, pulling a cart or a plow in Galilee. And it's that image of oxen yoked together, that Jesus uses to explain the paradoxical freedom of the gospel. The paradoxical freedom of the gospel, which is that we only know true freedom. We only know rest for our souls when we're yoked, bound, connected to Christ. When we're yoked, bound, connected to one another in love. The world tells us that we are free when we're able to choose our own way, when we're able to make our own decisions, when no one else can tell us what to do. That's freedom, the world tells us. The country celebrates Independence Day, but Jesus promises us that we will only know true freedom. We will only know true rest when we bind ourselves, when we yoke ourselves, when we recognize our dependence on Him and learn to walk in His ways of love. It's, of course, a calling all Christians are meant to take up, but it's one that I think is especially appropriate for us as St. Luke's parish. If I could turn that camera around, I could show you in the windows of this church oxen. For in Christian iconography, St. Luke is often depicted as a simple, humble ox. If we are to be St. Luke's parish, then we too must take up the yoke of Christ and bind ourselves to Him and to one another and to this community He loves in love. The yoke that binds us is the sacrament of baptism. That sacrament that binds us to God forever. You are sealed as Christ's own forever. And that sacrament that binds us together as Christ's body, the church. Yoked to Christ, we discover that we're part of a team of oxen and that we never have to do the hard things alone. We never have to carry the heavy burdens of life alone. We never have to do the hard things Jesus calls us to do alone. Between the morning service and this one, Susan told me that her son's football coach explained that actually when two oxen are yoked together, it doesn't just double their power, it grows exponentially. We, as St. Luke's parish, yoked to Christ and yoked to one another, can do great things in Jesus' name. We can proclaim the gospel. We can seek and serve Christ in all persons. We can persevere in sin, prayer and sin. We can repent of our sins and become Christ's very hands and feet in this world, blessing the world in His name. Not, my friends, because of who we are, but because of who God is. So that's my second prayer for us as St. Luke's parish, that we would know that perfect freedom that comes from taking on the yoke of Christ. Binding ourselves to God, binding ourselves to one another, binding ourselves to this broken, beautiful, crazy world that God so loves. I wish I could tell you what the next few months are going to look like. One of the lessons I keep having to learn over and over again, as maybe you do in this period of pandemic, is that the future is harder to control than I have ever liked to admit. I don't know what's going to come, but if we start here, at the altar, relying on God's extravagant grace, yoking ourselves to Christ, binding ourselves to one another, then we will get where we need to go together. Because it is Christ who has yoked Himself to us in love who will lead us there. That's my promise to you as your new rector, that I will do everything in my power to point us to Christ who will show us the way. And I am confident and I am excited to see where our Lord takes us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.